Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet, and welcome to another Tadpog podcast. It's a show that happens twice a week where three old guys talk about old games.
Two guys in a garage, one guy on the Internet.
Yep, where we have Dwight Eisenhower's pipes brought a guy right over through here. So welcome back for his second appearance.
Mm-hmm.
Baron Paul Kluhl.
Who knows anymore? What's up, guys?
Hey, Paul. I can see your face. It's great. You're Skyped in. It's like Coachella in here.
All my sure gaze into candles. It's just like Coachella.
I don't know what Coachella is, guys, but I imagine that's like this. I hear that's where they like resurrect Tupac and stuff, so that's pretty cool.
It's basically it's just a shaman festival.
Yeah, necromancy.
Fair enough. Can they take Justin Bieber in exchange for Tupac then?
That works for me.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
I was pretty happy with the roast of Justin Bieber.
Dude, Justin Bieber is the Canadian Tupac. Everybody knows that.
What are some good inflammatory comments we can make? Justin Bieber is the modern day Tupac. Russell Brand is the closest thing our generation has to George Carlin. We'll just say things that hurt to infuriate older people.
That hurt.
Justin Bieber is the new John Lennon.
Yes.
That actually doesn't hurt me that much. I hate the fucking Beatles.
Come on, man. If anything, he's George Harrison.
Did I kill your soul a little bit, Dave?
Yeah. I'm already done with this episode.
But so it's Other Ship Monday. So we're sticking to the eventually list. And this will be debuting on 420.
I was curious if you were going to bring that up.
What?
So we've all called into work. Yeah. We're blazing Sephiroth XX 420.
I will say that this cigar is not filled with marijuana.
That'd be impressive, though, if you were smoking like Cheech and Chong style, like a cigar.
That's only because you're looking for work, right?
you can detox in time. It's fine. So today we're going to be talking about, by request of Brandon of, well, it's Brandon of Axelay fame.
Right.
But on iTunes, it's Brandon of Axl Rose fame.
Because
he blew Axl Rose. And he told everybody about it. It's claim to fame.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
He's
that
one of only
confirmed.
Axl Rose actually allegedly hates oral sex.
Allegedly.
So only three people have ever blown him.
Brandon Eaves is one of them.
Brandon Eaves of Axelay fame is definitely one of the three alleged people to have blown Axl Rose.
His throat is heavenly soft.
I'm done with this episode. The next
Tadpog t-shirt. It'll be great.
Next Tadpog t-shirt. Brandon Eaves, throat heavenly soft. It's got the Charmin bear on it.
With Axl Rose's hat on.
I'm sort of compiling a list of quotes to put on t-shirts, and I'm thinking about making them as soon as I get another job.
That's at the top. You're welcome, Brandon. I know you're listening to this episode because you recommended
Axl Rose. Slash wears the top hat, right? Not
Slash,
Axl Rose.
Okay. I mean, they could both wear top hats. If
That's
they wanted
fine.
To.
I know I wear a top hat every time I get a blowjob. Right. I just try to. It's a fancy occasion.
Yeah.
But today we're talking about the LSD Dream Emulator.
Mm-hmm.
That is, it's exactly what it sounds like.
Is it?
I think so. Because I feel like you have to have done experimenting with drugs in some way to enjoy, to understand this game, maybe. Yeah.
Maybe while you're playing it. Maybe do drugs while you're playing it.
I think
it.
That would be good.
That'd be like a good 420 activity.
Because I don't have any Ambien. Otherwise, it would have been good for us to play this while taking Ambien. But
okay.
That's pretty much the extent of my drug use or prescription drugs that are actually prescribed to me.
No comment.
Fair enough. I got nothing.
I'm going to just stay quiet.
Paul, I know you've done all sorts of acid. I know you have. Because we're like, Dave and I, who are we going to have on this? Like, Who has done the most bathtub acid that we know? Well, that's got to be Paul Kuhl.
Probably Paul.
You fucking said you wouldn't talk about that. Actually, let's talk about it before the episode. Tommy wouldn't talk about it, and I'm talking about it.
Clearly, we don't respect anybody's wishes here.
Yeah. Because Jake and I are just about the uppers. We're not about the hallucinogens.
Oh, Jesus.
But I'm your beard host, Tyler. And what I wanted to do, my mom is looking to see if she has any, but
LSD.
Any LSD. It's like, Mom, do you have any old LSD from back in the day? She's like, oh, look.
The vintage stuff is really the best.
See, but the other day, I was hanging out with Brandy Gatsby, and she had a box of all the stuff she had from like school as a kid.
Yeah.
So she had this, it was a thick, like, where they'd been tied together with string, like a book of all these stories she had written when she was little. And I was reading through all of it, and it was some of the funniest shit I've ever read. It was so good. And I was reading it aloud very dramatically. So I really wanted to do a new segment about reading stories written by kids dramatically. And I wanted to find some of my stuff. I couldn't. My mom is looking. I didn't have any here.
Okay.
But what I did have was stuff from high school. Because I don't know other states that did it or anything, but portfolio.
Oh yeah,
which it started with like my class, because I remember I think I was in fourth or fifth grade when they wanted to experiment with this new form, like this where you would have this portfolio through elementary school, middle school, and high school.
Other states didn't do it. I don't know if they do now, because I remember when I moved back to Kentucky in my freshman year, they were like, "Oh, you got to write for your portfolio." It's like, what is that? What is that? Man.
They don't do it anymore. They finally got rid of that shit. Yeah.
So we just got it.
Yeah, we just got shafted. Yeah. It's fucking terrible.
I can tell you that in New York they were doing it, because I did it back when I was in grade school.
Oh, man.
All through high school.
Because I have so many, because basically every class required you to keep a journal and write all these entries every day, and these letters of the editor and all these like different voices pieces, and like it's all for state funding, because depending on how many people that score proficient, because whenever you're a senior, you'll get ranked for, you know, all these pieces,
right?
Either novice, apprentice, proficient, or distinguished. Mm-hmm. So the big goal was like, have everybody in the high school make proficient, blah, blah, blah. You know, that's how you get the most funding. So I remember I got a proficient. Most of my friends, we all got proficient.
Bragger.
let's see. I know Meg got a distinguished. Brandy Gatsby got a distinguished. And another friend, I've given him a name before. I gave him a nickname.
Jerk it Jeff.
Alistair. Alistair made a distinguished.
Okay.
Josh Nance made an apprentice because he didn't give a shit. Josh would just scribble on paper and just hand it in. Like, I'm still graduating. Fuck this.
You didn't want a drawing of a mall?
I often wonder if Josh is on Quaaludes by the way he talks on the show.
It's like, I can enunciate. I just don't give a shit. I'm married. I don't give a fuck. But I have two pieces from my portfolio.
Okay, excellent.
One.
I see them here.
Yeah. One is sort of from my emo phase. When my girlfriend and I had broken up, I wrote a poem that I submitted.
So definitely read that.
Yeah. And then the other is when I was a sophomore, we were reading Pip, Estella, Great Expectations. And we had to draw a comparison between the themes of other works.
And you literally drew something. I'm looking at it, and you drew something. I think it's beautiful. Missed the point.
I drew all the doozers from Fraggle Rock. So first.
So you're going to read both of them?
This is my cringy. This is my cringy, emo, sad 17-year-old.
And this
had never written poetry in my life.
This is the same girl that you read from the yearbook, right?
Uh-huh.
A couple episodes ago.
Yep.
Oh, sweet God.
So here is my poem, Beginning Wholeheartedly.
Is that the title?
Yes, okay. It's the title.
Okay.
Fuck. this is some self-cringe. Because it's not funny. It's just a emo poem
I've written. Are you sure that you want to do this?
I'm exposing as much as like I've said things about other people, I should cringe myself pretty hard. I think it's only fair.
You don't have to do this, Tyler. You don't. Yes, I can help.
I gotta do it.
I can help you come up with another topic if you don't feel.
I want to hear this, man. You can't just dangle that shit and run away.
When it comes to something difficult, I need to be prepared. I thought everything would be okay until there was a shock. And then I have a little note on the side of it called weak by my teacher. I had my heart broken. I know I need to focus my mind, but I just can't help it. I find myself thinking of her, but I just can't control it. With the help of a friend, I learned to use my mind. With the help of emotion, I learned to lose my mind. I always hear, just give it time. But what if I don't have time? What if I need to be well now? If love is a choice, then is to not love a choice too?
Profound.
I have overcome adversity before. Yeah, really. I totally had overcome adversity in my life. But now I'm fighting a new foe. I have to get better soon, but can I know when that day will arrive? That also is underlined saying weak. But I got 100 on it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wasn't bad.
I think Tyler, this is really what you're trying to do is you're like, these are really not that great, and you're reading them. You really want people to respond like, Tyler, that was really profound. That was really, you shouldn't be so hard on yourself.
Nope. Nope. I know it's weird.
You got to fight that foe, Tyler.
all the adversity, Dave, in my life. All my adversity of having to like get up at 7:45 to get to school.
Gross.
And like having a car when I was 16. Yeah. All that adversity is terrible. They run out of pan pizza at Pizza Hut all the time.
All right, then we can't even have the nice trash bags.
I grew up without the ties in my, it was just flaps in my trash bags.
What's the point of living?
They weren't odor protector, nothing. All right, then my theme.
Clear.
Everyone can see the condoms I'm throwing away.
No, I flushed all my condoms, which is stupid.
Yeah. You're
not... All the secret sex I was not, you know, having to keep hidden, flushed all my condoms. So I'm surprised something didn't happen. And then some guy comes over a Roto-Rooter like, oh, there are like 8 condoms in your septic tank.
Also, your toilet's pregnant. What?
All right, so my Great Expectations entry.
Okay.
Of what's a parallel work that you can compare Great Expectations to?
Lost.
Close. The show Family Matters.
I see why you didn't lead with this one.
Reminds me of Pip and Estella's relationships. Oh, no. Two characters, Steve and Laura, have a similar relationship. Steve loves Laura with all his mind, soul, and body, but no matter how much he cares, Laura shows him the cold shoulder in return. Steve delivers the most well-thought and sweetest lines, but it has no effect. As did the way Pip said thanks to Estella, which was, which we all should know that Laura ends up falling in love with Steve, and they live happily ever after, I think, which could also have happened to Pip and Estella.
What'd you get on that paper?
There's no grade on it.
You just wrote it for fun. Also, Great Expectations was also supposed to be about a middle-class black family trying to live in Chicago.
Here's another one I drew a parallel to. When Pip comes into all his money and forgets all of his friends, etc., it also happens to Max in Blank Check.
Fuck.
Awesome. No Home Alone reference? What's up? That's like, that's all you're missing out of the Holy Trinity.
Don't forget sidekicks.
Yeah, can't forget sidekicks. All those dead people.
I had to compare relationships to a song, and in the song Macho Man. Yeah. At the end of all these, I have she's written, nice.
Underline, nice. Cool, I'm glad you brought those.
Yeah.
Maybe I can bring something for a later episode. If I can, what's sad is, like, I know my mom's got all this stuff too. And it's just like, why do you have all this shit? It's awful. Like, this is like.
Or Tadpog.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing it can be used for, right? Mm-hmm.
So I really want to get that packet of Brandy Gadsby stuff to read because, oh, man, it's so good.
Have her, get her on. Get her on and have her read her own stuff, right?
That would be good. Yeah. There's no way she'll read it herself. There's no way.
Come on. Is she listening, you think?
Yeah, she'll hear this, and I'll get a text about noon.
Come on. You seem like a nice girl. You can read. You heard what Tyler just read. It can't be that bad, right?
Mm-hmm.
You reading that reminds me of this, like, horrible college paper I wrote my freshman year about, like, I was tying – I can't even remember what it was – it was so bad. I was tying the thing to like a Bob Marley song. Like it was like stereotypical like college kid bullshit where it's like, I feel like I should write this. I feel like this is what a college kid would write.
It's just how Bob Marley speaks to you, man.
Oh man. Yeah. I can oh, it's so bad. I wish yeah. I had it. I would
pa-
I would
page limits that. And all that bullshit you have to do in college.
What's up, internet? I'm Dave. I am your bespectacled host. And I was trying to think of some surreal shit because of LSD Dream Emulator is surreal. So I was trying to come up with some kind of tie-in. The only thing that kept coming to my mind over and over again was local television commercials that aren't in your local area. So like every time I'd see like something from Missouri or something like that, where it's like they're talking about, especially like political ads, where it's like it's your... viewing into this world that, as far as I'm concerned, doesn't fucking exist. Because I don't know any of these people. I don't know this guy running for sheriff. I don't know. Like, he's not the sheriff. We've got a sheriff.
He's not my sheriff.
Exactly.
Thanks, Obama.
So it reminded me of, I know that this trip was mentioned on the show, but I don't know if this particular thing was mentioned. A friend of ours got married in Albuquerque. And
a guy we know got married in Albuquerque.
We drove our asses from Kentucky to New Mexico over the course of, I don't know, what's the minimum amount of time that it takes? Because it was that.
It was like, I think was it 27 hours?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Which is good time. Make it good time.
And we did it straight.
And we drove in shifts and watched The Office Season 3 on Tyler's iPod the whole way twice.
Yep.
And when we got there, I remember we were so tired, and the only thing I wanted to do, I just wanted to sleep. It was like the middle of the, it was early morning. I just wanted to sleep. Mm-hmm. So I laid down on his couch, and the television is set up in front of the couch. And I remember waking up, and it was the most bizarre experience because I wasn't drunk or bumping rails or anything. But my eyes...
There's so much meth out there.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. There's a lot out
this
here,
is,
too.
This is pretty Breaking Bad.
Yeah. So my eyes just kind of, they flutter open.
As your eyes often do. I've seen them flutter.
And, well, that's how I get my way with you. I just bat my eyelashes.
We wake you up with butterfly kisses under his cheeks. It's time to do a podcast. Kiss.
I open my eyes, and I'm in this completely unfamiliar surrounding. I don't remember getting here. I just remember waking up, and the television is on, and it's just blaring these local television commercials. And it was like waking up in a different time period and just like not knowing how to function, because it was just like, where the fuck am I, and who the fuck is Joseph Hayden, and why does he really want to be mayor?
Man, it was a good trip, though.
Yeah.
The strip club was the best place. The road trip was still pretty fun. We listened to like one of Jim Norton's books and The Office, and that pretty much got us all the way to Albuquerque. He paid for it.
Right.
So it's like every time we stopped to eat and as we drove and talked, I mean, the road trip was good.
We couldn't afford the trip, which is sad.
Yeah. No way.
That's sad that we couldn't afford that road trip.
Because what? We drove my SUV, and the strip club was good, and then all of us getting back to his two-bedroom apartment, or one-bedroom apartment, his two rooms.
Back from the strip club
to his house, and all of us trying to, like, find a private place to masturbate. And it was impossible.
I feel like everyone did.
But I remember just, like, the weird tension on the... like on the way home, and then once everybody's standing in this two room apartment, just like looking at each other, knowing we're so fucking horny, but like just awkwardly, like, where am I gonna? Whoa.
One bathroom, of course, which I took immediately.
I've got to decorate this place up like the Statue of Liberty and Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah, that's positive slime. I think that's accurate.
We all sort of sing that song together.
Positive slime.
What's up, Paul? Of What's Paul Playing Today? How you been?
Sorry, I'm trying to process positive slime.
It was called something. I mean, it was positive slime, essentially, right?
We're just going to go with positive slime. I'm great. I could use a nap, but that's just normal.
I'll wake you up. Butterfly kisses.
Butterfly kisses.
God, I hated that song so fucking much. I dated a girl in high school who loved it, and it was like, I'm pretty sure we need to break up.
I don't blame you. I would have to.
I think I'd slow dance. Oh, sorry, Paul. Go ahead.
No, please.
No, I was just going to say, like, I remember slow dancing and putting my hands on an attractive girl's butt during two butterfly-themed songs. So one being that song, and the other being Mariah Carey's Butterfly.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Did you promptly never see her again?
Oh, that's Pretty Gatsby, actually. So,
so no. Okay. Right. Unfortunately, I did not have any sort of theme. I just remember doing a lot of crazy, stupid shit when I was a kid. In the middle of winter in Buffalo, there's not much to do when you can't drink except play video games. Mm-hmm. Because, well, it's Buffalo. There's really nothing else to do but drink and play video games and go watch poor sports teams.
Buffalo sounds pretty cool.
I know that feel.
Yeah, yeah. You got University of Kentucky. What are you talking about?
Like 4 hours away.
Still, you can watch them on TV, right?
Yeah.
Sometime. Or our football is terrible. Yeah. Only the basketball. So there's only stuff to watch during basketball season. Mm-hmm. After that, you got nothing.
And then it's pretty much like
waiting for the hype for basketball season to come back again.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's fair.
And then it really sucks when you get your heart broken or something.
Yeah. You got to write poetry.
Fair. Mm-hmm. That's fair. But I do have a story.
That poem was really about Tubby Smith driving UK into the ground.
Wow. That's a deep cut.
I promise that's not my intro story. So a few friends and I that I will not mention, this is just me talking about myself. They were there peripherally. They were really doing all the things, but I'm not going to name them.
Anyway. They don't listen, I'm sure. Go ahead and name them.
Actually, I got a couple of them to listen, so I'm not going to do that.
Okay, fair.
They'll know who they are, I promise. So at one point, we would just go out and just wreck shit, do vandalization bullshit. What's the statute of limitations of vandalization?
I have no idea. Like, let's just say you did it 50 years ago.
It was 16 years ago or so. I'm sure it's
probably
fine.
Good.
Anyway, we would go out and someone had made a snowman in someone's front yard and had literally built it up pretty high. It was taller than I am, and I'm 6 foot. I was 6 foot when I was 16 years old. And I had the brilliant idea to tackle it. What I did not know was that it was built around a real estate sign.
Oh, God.
It did not end well.
Did you cut yourself up?
No, I ended up, it was one of those signs that had, you know, the corrugated plastic signs.
Yep.
With that big bar in the center.
Oh, yeah.
The T-bar hit me right in the right shoulder. So the sign is bent at a 45-degree angle where my head collided with one side, my shoulder collided with the other, or my arm where it wrapped around it collided with the other, and just my shoulder was sore for like a week afterwards. And one more thing, which was kind of hilarious, we all had the bright idea to, you know those like 1 gallon Gatorade jars?
Yeah.
We all pissed in that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Everybody pissed in that. That's what I do out here now.
Filled up the full gallon. And there's one guy down the road that we fucking hated. We coated it in piss overnight in the middle of winter. That man was man's car was covered in frozen piss.
I'm glad you didn't throw it.
To this day, I look back and it makes me smile.
Here's what I really want to know. Like, that house that had the snowman in the front yard, did they just decide, it's fucking snowed. No one's going to want to buy this house.
No. I imagine it was just a bunch of kids like us who were just doing vandalization, except they were just much more constructive.
They were super creative. They were like, let's fuck with these people. What should we do? I don't know. You want to build a snowman in their yard? Yeah.
Shit.
Creative vandalism. Yes.
I like that.
It sounds like your high school experience was like mine, Paul, where we just like, you played video games. We didn't drink, so it was just like go out and break stuff because we're boys.
Then what else are you going to do? I mean, you're in the middle of rural Kentucky. What are you going to do except for drink or take meth?
You can.
I don't think you'll do that at 16. So play video games or go out and break shit.
You can go to parties. I did this for like freshman year. You can go to parties and watch people get drunk and do drugs.
But I say, without alcohol, what's the fucking point?
There is none.
And without a four-wheeler, too, because all the parties are out in the middle of fields.
Right?
They do need a guy there to, like, when the cops show up, they do need that guy to be like, it's okay, everything's fine while everyone runs away.
Yeah.
LSD? You guys want to take some LSD?
Let's see. And talk about it. It'd be great. Dave, do you hear that?
It's hard. It's hard to hear things right now. Mm-hmm. My ears are ringing.
Because all the LSD that we're on.
Yeah. Oh man. I am tripping balls, Tyler. Tripping balls. That's a thing that people
hear
say.
Colors. Mm-hmm.
I guess I hear that. What is it? Is it the color blue?
Yeah. That's a good one.
I was going to go with orange, but yeah.
Which are the blue and orange, the colors of my high school. Yeah.
Hmm.
Fucking random.
It's fate.
I do hear that. I do hear that color blue that, of course, could only harken in a segment that I like to call Dave Reads from Wikipedia. Mm-hmm. Okay, guys. LSD, video game. I just want to go ahead and say right off the bat, there is a big reversed out exclamation mark on a triangle that says, this page has some issues.
This game has some fucking issues.
LSD, also known as LSD Dream Emulator, is a surrealistic exploration video game released in Japan in 1998 for the Sony PlayStation video game console, based on a dream journal that Hiroko Nishikawa, a staff member at Asmic Ace Entertainment, had been keeping for a decade. This game is a decade in the making.
Mm.
This game is a decade in the making. It's like Jurassic Park, but instead of 64 million years, it's a decade. It is one of three products released about the journal. It must have been a really fucking good journal. They did three projects, basically.
Or they hated this guy. It's like, steal his journal, we'll just make fucking games, make fun of him.
Hey, Hiroko, have any dreams lately? I got an oven mitt we need to make. What'd you dream about last night? The others being a music CD called LSD and remixes in the journal itself, published as Lovely Sweet Dream in limited quantity. I can't imagine they didn't produce
that. I'm
going to
see if I can find that.
Please do. The game has earned itself a small cult following due to the generally disturbing and eccentric nature of the game and its content. Although the game's title could be considered a reference to the recreational drug with the same denomination and the gameplay a reference to its psychological effects, neither information is objectively stated anywhere in the game. Instead, different phrases are attributed to the acronym LSD, all following the standard, quote, in L, the S, dream. Examples include in life, the sensuous dream. The sensuous dream, and in limbo, the silent dream. It's very profound. It reminds me a lot of a distinguished portfolio piece.
You're not wrong. Oh man, because I think this game was real. I thought it was just Brandon just putting down a funny name for just something on his 5-star review. And then you told me, yeah, that's a real game.
It's a real game.
Oh, it means we're going to have to do it.
It's a real thing.
I bet it's going to be something.
I messaged Brandon 2 days ago, and I was like, hey, man, did you play LSD, or did you just recommend it on iTunes because you wanted to fuck with us? And he was like, you guys are doing that game? I was like, yeah, we're fucking doing that game. So have you played it? He's like, oh, no.
There's no way he played this. No. Oh, man.
There's no way I would have played it.
And a lot of, I was researching about it online, it's often referred to as a horror game as well. In addition, horror exploration.
I don't get that. I don't get that.
I can see where it's kind of weird and could be creepy with a few elements, but like, no. I wouldn't, like, Resident Evil is also out at this time, so it's like, that's a horror game.
Mm-hmm. That is a scary game. This is not a scary game. I was so disappointed because it is not a fucking scary game at all. It's remember when we talked about Stanley Parable and like we ran out, went around the table and it was like, do you think this is a game? Do you think this is a game, Nicole? If we were to do that right now, I would tell you LSD is not a fucking game. This is not a fucking game. There's no narrative. It is just it. Like when I was playing it, I was like, is this a fucking tech demo? Like, is this like what they just, they're like, well, shit, we're supposed to release a game this year. Hiroko's got that dream journal. We've got all this, we got this tech demo.
Cause it is, it's like the early 3D modeling. You're just putting, just put a tree. All right, I'll put a tree there. What else do you want a tree? Like a minotaur? All right, let's put a minotaur beside the tree. And then, some Japanese stuff and the inside of a butthole. Okay.
Yeah, the inside of a butthole sounds good.
Throw some hot dogs chopped like cucumbers in there. It'll be fine.
Yeah. No, it's fantastic. The game opens like kind of like a Kmart Nine Inch Nails video. If it were done.
That special.
Yeah. If it were done in like Tokyo, because it like it's incredibly 90s. Like I'm sure that when it came out, they were like, holy shit, look at this intro. It is amazing. It looks like a music video. And that's the problem. It looks like a music video from the 1990s.
I was thinking it looks like, yeah, like if WarioWare was a music video.
Yeah. Yeah, like if Blink-182 decided to do WarioWare. there's all these like filtered shots of like people in fast motion, like getting on a subway and getting off a subway, and then overlaid with like illustrations of sumo wrestlers like dancing at 4 frames per second. It's pretty good.
a bunch of letters bouncing around.
Yeah,
the letters for LSD Dream Simulator emulator all just bouncing around there. Mm-hmm.
It's like looking at, I don't know if you've ever looked at Photoshop or design stuff from like the 90s when desktop publishing first became a really big thing. That is like the worst fucking design you'll ever see, because it reminds me of Dream Emulator, LSD Dream Emulator, because they're like, look what we can do. We shouldn't be doing this, but look what we can do. We have the power to do this.
Like a shitty GeoCities site.
Yeah, exactly. All we need is the fucking GIF of the mailbox opening with the letter flying in.
You can play My Heart Does Go on your MySpace page. So whenever you go in, it just starts playing immediately. Hopefully their speakers are turned out blast. Just, as soon as they go in, they get a sense of who you are.
For me, it's Unbreak My Heart.
Oh, God. I did, however, find something. Someone lovingly translated the entire Lovely Street Dream book and put it on Tumblr.
Really?
Yep.
Have you read it?
No, I just found it. While you guys are, while you're reading Dave's recent Wikipedia.
Oh my God.
It's probably like reading something from the Cthulhu mythos. Like you're going to read it.
The Yellow
Somebody,
King.
Yeah, somebody transcribed it and they went mad.
Oh, they killed themselves. Oh, they just started tackling snowmen until they couldn't anymore.
Because the thing about this game is, yeah, all you do is walk around and you can hear all your footsteps, and the camera moves with all your footsteps. Yeah, it
bounces with your head.
And it's right. Terrible.
It's first person. We should
terrible.
Say
terrible.
I got to say, I almost threw up a couple of times when I was doing this.
Oh, man.
Because the vision bob that was with that freaking early 90s shit that Doom started.
Uh-huh.
Ugh.
Well, and the footsteps in this game are, like, overwhelming. The sound of the footsteps, like, they just blast everything out because it's, like, and they sound so fucking fake. Like, it just takes you out of the game immediately because it's just, like, clip, clop, clip, clop, clip, clop. Yeah, and then, like, you're walking over, like, these faces on the ground. Like, the ground is just faces now. And it's still just, like, clip, clop, clip, clop, clip.
Like, I would have liked to turn around and, like, Monty Python Holy Grail, and you've seen somebody with the coconuts behind you the whole time.
Yeah, exactly.
You know why they did that, right?
Why did they do that?
There was actually a budgetary constraint. They wanted to do horses, but they couldn't afford it, so someone thought of the great idea of using cut coconut halves.
I fucking love that.
Mm. But who doesn't love that? Cockmaster Shake of Fist Puncher fame.
Yeah.
Seeing that movie, we all went to an independent movie theater and watched that movie, and he said it was one of the worst nights of his life. Because we're all around him just like dying laughing, enjoying it, and he's just like the only one in the middle of the theater who's just like, why is everybody laughing? This is awful and stupid.
I'm actually getting mad right now because of this. All the props for remembering Cockmaster.
But listen, what you start off, you know, you're not a person, you're not anything, you're just this,
you don't know,
this entity having a dream,
maybe,
and then you walk with your coconut footsteps, mm-hmm. and you start out in like a Japanese style house, mm-hmm. and you go out into like Japanese architecture, and whenever you run into a wall or an object or an animal, yeah, you're transported to another dream.
And that's called, they have a term for this in the game, it's called linking. So that, okay. just in case you were wondering.
We can do this, I can do a D&D game based on this.
That
can
would
we
be
call
better.
It Kevin linking?
What's that?
You say Kevin linking?
Yes.
good deep cut,
yeah,
Paul.
For real.
But yeah, I'll do a D&D game where it's like, do you touch that? All right, now you're somewhere else. And then I just play the clip-clop noise, like just cranked up to 11.
Well, there is something cool about the linking. Like, this game is not completely devoid of value. Mm-hmm. I did think that it was interesting that wherever you're linked to is determined by what you touch. Like, if there's something that looks generally like it's a bad thing, like it's a pterodactyl that swoops at you mm-hmm. and touches you, you usually are you're transported to, like, a darker place. And, like, the music, quote-unquote music, sounds more dark.
Because my longest run at the game was whenever I was in my house, instead of turning forward, I turned around to face the other way and walked into the wall.
Yeah.
And then it took me to various different places. But I ended up, the critical thing was I ended up going to that toy world.
Yes.
Where it's just like the blocks and the faces.
Super
fun like
land.
That.
Yeah.
And I found a building that just had love written above it.
modeled poorly 3D above the house.
So I ran into the love building, and then I was transported to a train tunnel. So I was like, I'm just gonna follow these tracks. And for several minutes, I just ran down the tracks until I finally started hearing a train. So I was like, all right, awesome. So I just kept going, and eventually I see the train coming. And it is very much like a weird, surreal Thomas the Tank Engine that's just coming at you. So I just ran straight into the train, and I blinked out of existence. I linked into another dream, mm-hmm. and I was inside the train. And it looked like whenever you go outside a facility in Portal.
Yes.
It's like, it actually looked pretty cool. I took one step and died.
Okay, here's what's fucked up. I have a feeling that us talking about our experiences in the game is going to make it sound like this game is awesome. Because what you just said, I was listening to you. I've played this fucking game, but I listened to you and I was like, God, that sounds fucking awesome.
And I feel like just listening to you guys talk about it, I feel like it could have been awesome done on, say, Xbox 360 or PS3 or PS4 or Xbox One or PC, just like a mod of some like fucking Half-Life 2 or something.
There is an HD remake of this.
Is there really?
Out. Yeah. Really? It really doesn't look that much better at all, but it exists.
That is the fault of this game, is that it's a cool idea. I feel like we say this a lot. It's a cool idea, but it looks so bad. It's
terrible.
Oh, God, it's so hard to take it seriously mm-hmm. because it's like you see something that you know is supposed to be, I guess, thought-provoking. Like, here is my example of this, where I realized that this game really shouldn't have been made for the PlayStation. Mm-hmm. They should have waited another decade. I come around this corner.
You need to wait for technology to catch up to your
dreams. I was walking around this Japanese garden, and I turned a corner, and there was this four-legged creature, giant four-legged creature, that was just flailing its legs slowly and floating up into the sky. And I watched it go up into the sky, and Nikki was behind me, and she looked at me and she said, "What was that?" I was like, "I don't fucking know.
I think that was Jesus."
I have no idea what that was. All I know is it was big and it had four legs. She's like, "I think it was an animal." Maybe. Might have been an animal. I don't know. I have no idea.
So I remember I walked out onto like a pier, and I saw what looked like somebody in a homemade Ghostbuster outfit. And like, I run up to them thinking I can catch them. And like, as soon as I get to them, they just flicker out.
Yeah.
So then I run up and go to like a lighthouse. Mm-hmm. And I go inside the lighthouse. I link to another dream where I'm in like a palace. And I run through the palace till I see what looks like one geisha throwing a ball to into empty space. And the ball comes back. So then I walk into the geisha. And then that's how I ended up in the toy land.
So once again, this game sounds cool.
I feel like the closest approximation of what this game could have been is something like Silent Hill Shattered Memories, which has a very dreamlike world, but in between the sequences where you're talking to the shrink, which could be a correlation, but I'm gonna be honest with you, I fucking hated this game.
It was, I mean, it was pretty unbearable to play.
Thanks, Brandon.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks a lot, Brandon. And your exceptionally soft and heavenly throat.
Because I played it for like 45 minutes, and then I was like, okay, I'm done. I'm gonna see it. I just like, I'll put it up on YouTube, see what other people have said about it. And a lot of people were like, yeah, this game for its time for the PlayStation looked pretty good. Like, no, it didn't.
As soon as I hear for its time, I call you a fucking liar.
I can see that this is a good interpretation of dreams, because when
dreams
you
are fucked up,
dreams are fucked up. And like, Tyler, when you're talking about your experiences in this game, it sounds like you're talking about a dream. Like, it all sounds plausible. It sounds like I had this weird dream where I ran into this love house. And then the next thing I know, I was on these tracks, which, by the way, I did this too. Here's my experience running to the love house. I was on some tracks, and I was also like, I'll follow these tracks. Follow the tracks. They turn into a boardwalk. I was like, all right, I'll follow this boardwalk. And then there's a dead end. I'm like, well, I'm just going to see if there's anything over the edge. I walk to the edge, and a colossal demon comes out from the cliff, puts its hand down in front of me, and rises up. He's giant. He fills the whole screen. And I'm just kind of standing there like, what the fuck is going on? And then he eats me, and I die.
That went in a completely different direction. As soon as he puts his hand down, I thought you were going to go in a completely different direction in that one.
Just like run up it, like Shadow of the Colossus and slay the demon.
Positive slime is what I was thinking.
I was thinking just going down his pants, but yeah, positive slime would have been the result.
Well, do you want to hear about my most recent dream I had like 2 days ago?
Yes, I do.
Please.
I had a dream. We were back like in, we were in college. We were in McElwain of Contra and Super Metroid fame. We were at like his house in college.
Okay.
And because he had like a two-story house and he had apartments he rented out and he lived in that house.
McElwain Manor.
Yep. And for some reason, like I was outside. There was like a track and a pool outside. I think the outside was actually Ramon Castillo's backyard with like the trampoline, and a pool. And
that,
like
that blur job story really got to you, huh? Yeah.
And Meg walks up to me and she has bandages all over her chest. And I'm like, what's wrong? And she's like, well, I've been hiding this for a few weeks now, but I got a double mastectomy. And I was like, well, is something wrong? Are you okay? She's like, no, I just learned to get rid of them. And I was pretty mad.
They're cumbersome. Come on.
Why would you do that? And how did you hide it from me for 2 weeks?
Your pride was hurt. I think it's the thing where it's like, I didn't notice this for 2 weeks.
And I'm a breast man. How did I not get that?
I'm slipping.
But I'm upset with her. So then I go in McElwain's house and like I'm talking to like him and somebody else. And then I'm like, okay, well, I got to go to the bathroom. So I go upstairs to go to the bathroom. And when I go upstairs, his bathroom is like a palatial, like Roman bathhouse style bath. And toward the back of the room, there's a clawfoot tub and one with like the wraparound shower curtains. And I see people are in there. So I go back, and whenever I pull the shower curtain back,
yeah,
Meg is in the tub with, it looks like a long-haired Fez from that 70s show, and he has a bathing suit on from like the 50s, like the one suit, striped bathing suit.
And he's like, what's up? I'm Jesus.
He just looks at me, and I turn to look at Meg, and she's immediately very ashamed. And then like, I was like, first you get rid of your boobs, and now you're in the bathtub with this other guy. So I leave, and she chases after me. She's like, all right, here's what I'm going to do out of apology. I'm sorry. So I've set up a five-way for you. It's going to be you and four girls.
See, I've had a similar dream, but Nikki's like,
all guys.
But Nikki's like, I've set up a five guys for you. You just go and eat as much as you want.
That's pretty good, too. And like I go up, it's like the top floor of McElwain's house. So I go up there, and then it looks like a Western style, like they're all dressed like corsets and the flowery stuff. And like I recognize one girl is like she was my manager at Pizza Hut, like when in college.
I love that. I love dreams. I love dreams because they're like, hey, remember this person? Of course you don't. Here they are.
You do now.
One was a girl I worked with. Most recently, she was a nurse aide, and I'm sure at one point, because I've heard like you can't make up people in your dreams. It'll just be if you see someone on the street, they can pop in.
I've heard that too. I don't know if that's
an amalgamation of other parts of people. That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
And I didn't know the others. And I was like, all right, well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to – Meg got rid of her boobs and was in the tub with that guy. Like, I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
And I go to the bathroom first.
It's my balls.
So I go in – and this always happens to me in dreams. Always.
Oh, I know. It's.
So I go and I'm peeing. And what? Suddenly I notice like
– Wait. What?
I go to the bathroom to pee. Because I want to pee before I nail all these hot ladies.
No, I think it's hilarious that like that's just a step we're going to skip. We're like, I see these five girls and then I'm peeing.
Well, I turn around and go to the bathroom, and like I remember I'm peeing in the toilet, and all of a sudden like I notice the house sways forward a whole lot. Like, okay, well, I keep peeing and the house sways back a whole lot. I was like, oh, this doesn't sound good. So then I walk back in to the brothel, I guess, and they're all ready to have sex with me, mm-hmm. and the house collapses in on itself.
That always happens?
Of all the like hundreds of sex dreams I've ever had, like I think I've had sex like twice. Oh, okay. I always cockblock myself in some way.
I was hoping that it was like I was hoping that it was like houses just collapse. Like you're afraid to go to buildings and dreams because they're like, oh shit, this is. Exactly
I used to have nightmares about the old bridge that goes into Livingston County. Mm-hmm. There was like this old, rusty bridge.
Yeah, it was a scary bridge,
and it's super, super narrow. Like I'd have nightmares about it all the time. About like. I'm stuck in the middle, and it starts falling apart and collapsing. Yeah. Like, all the time I had that dream.
That's an actual fear that you should have had. Yeah, because that thing is fucking scarier than the furnace in Home Alone.
That furnace was scary, then.
It was pretty scary. Not as scary as the Livingston Bridge.
Ugh. I've never seen Livingston Bridge. Is it rickety as shit?
They pretty much closed it down.
It got condemned. Yeah,
it's done now. Have they blown it up yet? I think
they're just letting it rot and fall apart. They bought, like... Half a mile down the river, they built like a new awesome bridge, and they're just letting this one just fall apart.
Well, if it's wood, I mean, it'll just go back into the environment. It'll be fine.
It looks like wood, but it's just really rusted metal.
Birds will eat it. It's fine.
Perfect. Yeah, they'll just make a habitat out of it. It'll be fine.
I'm trying to think of some other weird experiences. I had an LSD dream emulator. Did you guys
just
run
talk
across
about our dreams? Fuck it. Fuck LSD. Emulator.
Did you guys run across the shadowy man?
Yes.
Were you scared by the shadowy
the gray man? The guy in like the trench coat and a hat.
Yeah. I felt like I was supposed to be afraid of him, but I was not.
It's difficult to be scared by polygons. I'm sorry. Yeah. It's like being scared by Star Fox. That's not going to happen.
Well, I mean, it's like, it's just untextured polygons. That's all. I mean, it's really just like, it's just a color. And he slowly approaches you. He's incredibly easy to avoid. You can just turn around and go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. But if he touches you, you get once again linked to another area. He touched me.
Oh,
it was on the doll. He touched you, Dave.
I was transported to the beginning of the game, but everything was red. My vision was red until I woke up. So, I mean that stuff is cool. Like random stuff happens, and I like that. And it's like all about this. Engine where it's like, okay, well, you do something and then that causes something else to happen, and then this happens. It's like chaos theory from Jurassic Park, just to bring Jurassic Park back in again.
Perfect. Have you guys seen the demo for the new Silent Hill that's debuting on the PS4?
No, I heard all about it, but no, I haven't played it. I don't have a current gen console, so
you can watch people play it on YouTube, and some people just rage quit. And I feel like that this is what LSD Dream Simulator probably could have been like, because there's a lot of random shit that happens in the tech demo, and I if you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it.
I like the idea of the dream, them trying to realistically portray dreams. I haven't watched that demo, but you just talking reminded me of something I was thinking while I was playing. Yeah, I think it would be cool if in this game things just randomly were there and then you look away and then look back and it's gone, kind of thing. Because that's like, that happens to me in dreams all the fucking time. Where it's
that
just
in real life. What are you talking about, dreams?
Well, you know, it's all that LSD that we make and use. Distribute.
You remember another weird dream I used to have?
Sure.
Let's do it.
It was a rare lucid dream. Like I was aware I was dreaming.
I love those.
And I just remember the end of it, because I'm in a bathroom again, only I'm dressed as Bartman.
Nice.
And out of the toilet sprouts like this tornado. And as Bartman, I have to stop this tornado. But I'm also aware that it's a dream.
Okay.
So I remember like, well, I'm going to be fine. This is just a dream. Right. I need to stop this tornado. So probably the best way to do this is to get in it, stand really still, so the tornado just stops.
Well, that's right. That's how you do it.
That's how I do it. So then I remember doing that, and in real life, it's like my whole body fell asleep because it was like whole body went pins and needles, and I woke up. Huh. It was really, really weird and creepy, but I'll never forget it.
There's a subreddit for lucid dreaming, isn't there?
Yeah.
Have you ever been
subreddit for everything?
Come yeah, on. I mean, I'm not too surprised. Like, what? I've never been there, but I've seen the ad for it. Have you been there, either of you?
I've looked into it just a little bit.
Like, what do they have? Like tips and stuff?
Like, I think how it's you for like it? How to try to teach yourself how to do it, and then other people's like success stories and what they did with it.
And then like are half of the people like just fucking do drugs?
Just do LSD. We had this game you'd play first.
Just get really, really fucking high before you sleep.
Oh, man.
Did you guys see the face with hands and legs? Did you run across that guy in the game? This was probably actually the only time that I did feel disturbed is when I turned a corner and there is a giant face. The face is the size of a human and it has legs coming out of its chin and arms coming out of its ears. And so at first I'm like, what the fuck is that? And I'm a little disturbed. And I'm like, well, I mean, I got to investigate this. So I start walking towards it. It fucking duplicates. And one of them just fucking takes off running.
Did you chase after that one?
I thought about it. But then there was one that was still just standing there. So I was like, well, I'm not going to chase that one. I'm just going to investigate this one. So I walk up closer to it. And then I guess it sees me or something. And it starts like doing this like side to side dance. And I'm like, okay, well, I should probably go ahead and link to this thing and see where it takes me. And I remember touching it and being linked somewhere else that was way less interesting.
Yeah.
I think it took me to the geishas throwing the beach ball.
Okay.
But there were two there. There wasn't just one.
Just one? Okay.
Did you, in theme with the geisha, did you run across the sumo wrestlers?
Mm-mm, I did not.
There are these sumo wrestlers that are, I couldn't tell if they were poorly rendered or if they were supposed to look like cardboard cutouts because they're fighting in a ring. But like, if you walk around them to the side, they're two dimensional. They just look like they're
basically like Doom.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, essentially like Doom, but a lot more, culturally Japanese.
So like Doom.
That's Mars, isn't it?
Japanese Mars.
Yes.
Deimos is one of the moons of Japan.
Exactly.
Oh, man. Well, any other?
Well, we're ready to end this show.
Got any other experiences to talk about this game?
Let's see. I talked about the Shadow Man. I talked about the real life Mr. Potato Head that duplicated. Sumo wrestlers, geisha. I was attacked by a teddy bear.
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about the chart.
We did not talk about the chart. There is a chart, Paul, right? We're at
apparently the chart it's strange how it works, and apparently after every dream you get this chart on screen. It's a four axis chart. One, the top axis is upper, the bottom axis is downer, the left axis is static, and the right axis is dynamic. So as you're going through the dreams and as you're getting the dreams are apparently in 10-minute segments. Mm-hmm. So the longest you can go in a dream is 10 minutes.
You can die before then.
You can die before then. If you die to, I think, the Shadow Man, I think he kills you, doesn't he? Or the demon, as it were. If you die before then, it generally goes on a downer note. If you live out the entire 10 minutes, it goes in the upper note. And if you continue having similar experiences, it'll stay in the static section. And if you continue changing the experience, it'll go in the dynamic section. And apparently, I don't know if, I don't think we mentioned this, but apparently the game does have an end.
That's what I hear. I did not get it in because I only played 15 days of dreams.
Yeah, there's no way. If you have staying power to get to the end, bravo to you, listener. But there's 365 days, quote unquote days, that you go through these dreams, and in those 10-minute segments, there's no fucking way I'm playing that long. Sorry,
I thought about it. I thought about it, but then it was like, okay, I was doing the math. I was like, okay, 10 minutes, 365 days. That's 3,650 minutes. I was like, that's how long is that? And
if you're going to ask us any questions, we have to wait for Nicole to be on.
It was like,
That's 60 hours, 61 hours, give or take.
No, fuck that. Because like I crunched those numbers and I was like, no fucking way. I could barely like 15 days into the game, I was like, well, I do need to play Resident Evil 2, and I bet it's a lot more fun than this game.
Yeah, I played this right before Resident Evil 2, and I'm like, I got maybe an hour in, I'm like, I'm going to play a good game now, thanks.
Right, yeah. And like, spoilers for Resident Evil 2, I really like it, and I wonder if it's colored by LSD. Yeah. Like, if I had played a different game before Resident Evil 2, I might be like more critical, but I feel like I was playing Resident Evil 2, I was like, this is really good, like, this is amazing.
It was a lot of fun. I actually just finished recording it. It's up on YouTube now, right before I got on the show with you guys.
Awesome.
I had a lot more fun with that than I did with this, I'll tell you that much.
Awesome.
I was even drinking before that. No, I'm kidding.
So what is the ending?
The ending is this ridiculous 30-second video of just random amalgamated shit. Like, if you saw the video vignette, you probably wouldn't think anything of it and just think it's, oh, hey, it's the cutscene to another dream sequence.
So worth it is what you're saying. It's worth the 61
Absolutely
100%
hours. Worth it. Yeah. Please play it.
Don't look it up on YouTube. Just waste 61 hours of your life.
Be there.
Yeah.
I'm lying, I hope.
I heard a rumor about that chart, right? The four-axis chart kind of looks like a face.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
I heard a rumor that something happens if you fill in all the squares on that face.
You actually can't fill in all the squares on that face.
You cannot?
You're absolutely completely unable to, because they continue to – they'll cycle. So eventually after you get past like I think it's about 20 or 30 days, it cycles out.
So the previous ones start disappearing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, gotcha.
No, I'm pretty sure if you fill it out, General Leo and Eris both yeah. both come back from the dead.
Yep, absolutely.
And you can play as Cecil and Sephiroth.
Paul, I read this on the internet. I'm pretty sure it's true.
It has to be. I mean, General Leo is still there. I'm still fighting for General Leo. God damn it.
Do you guys have any achievements for this game?
Turn it the fuck off. That's my achievement. I mean, you get that achievement by turning it the fuck off.
That's a life achievement.
My favorite achievement to get, man.
I don't have any prepared, but I can come up with a couple if you'd like.
Sure. I'll go ahead and read what I have.
Do you have achievements for this?
Well, I've got, let's see, before he got slender. And that is you touch the gray man three times.
Nice.
All right. That's good.
And the other being Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary.
Uh-huh.
Because there's a woman in the game, if you go up to her and like if you're going to link with her, instead her head comes off. And she has like this glowing red, like hexagon, to illustrate blood, and then she just falls over.
I got a great one, but I want to go after Dave, so I don't steal it just in case.
I got come on, ride the train, and ride it. And in order to unlock that, you have to get hit by Thomas the Tank Engine on the railroad tracks.
Perfect.
What do you got, Paul?
Josh Nance on Quaaludes, and that's getting downer all the time. I'm sorry, Josh.
Is it okay? When I read that, right, upper and downer, I was like, okay, there's no way that they can sit there and be like, no, this has nothing to do with drugs.
Yeah. Come on, it's LSD. It literally says LSD dream emulator. How could you not?
No, it's lovely,
drugs?
Sweet dreams. Oh man,
Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
I've got some important questions for you.
Yeah.
Yes, I do. The first being, if you were to give this game a beard that sums up how you feel about it, what kind of beard would you give it?
I'd have to give it, I guess it's all polygonal. So it's a beard that's made of flowers and like the old fashioned bicycles with the giant wheel and the small wheel.
Yes.
And then just sloughs of skin.
Okay. Okay. That makes about as much sense as this game.
I thought so.
I also like to point out that this is the most surreal part of our show. It's where we rate games based on beards and glasses.
It's the best part of the show, honestly.
Tyler, if you were to give this game a pair of glasses, what kind of glasses would it be?
Because I'm trying to think. I remember seeing it when I was little, and I hated this art style. I hated it. But I remember it being like, it was really gross looking. And it was like a kid who's, it was fashioned after like, old Looney Tune cartoons, like where the wolf would see a sexy lady and his eyes get giant
and bulge
out of his face and become bigger than his whole body.
Yeah.
But I remember seeing these eyes on like a gross looking guy who's drawn like super veiny or something like that, like a party theme or something. I remember seeing it when I was little, it was gross, but it's those veiny, huge ooga eyes.
Okay. Okay.
Fair enough. I was really hoping for that camera that lets you see things for what they really are.
Sean Miller's favorite pair of glasses.
That's mine too, honestly.
I got a question for both of you guys. And oh, that boy. Is
this how much I think it is
this game on Amazon?
Yes. Mm. I've always wanted to play this.
So Japanese import.
How much is this game on Amazon? Used.
Because I'm thinking if you have to bring it over to Japan, it's going to be a little more expensive. $37.
$37. Dollars. I don't know.
That's when you and I come together. Dollars.
I just all of a sudden I'm Eastern European.
That's the currency in the Tadpog Nation.
Dollars.
Okay, Tadpog points are now obsolete. So if you're hoarding Tadpog points right now, they're all cleared out. You're bankrupt.
That's just a big middle finger to Micah.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, Exalted Lord Mike. Well, you can exchange them for Dollars, but on a very, very, very poor ratio. Paul.
I'm going to go high. I think it's $150.
$150? $150?
Yes. $150.
Okay, guys. Actual retail value of LSD Dream Emulator for the PlayStation. I don't think we said that this game was for the PlayStation, but it's for the PlayStation. Used on Amazon at the time of this recording, it does not exist.
No way.
It does not exist. You cannot buy it currently.
All right. This is that. Yeah, I should have went that route. You only buy it in your dreams.
Yeah, exactly.
You go to a P.F. Chang's and fall asleep and link with the P.F. Chang's and then.
So I don't know. Maybe we could find it on eBay or something, but you're probably not going to find it on your local Craigslist. I'll give you that much. I think it's pretty fair to say that I probably emulated this game.
I think we all did.
Allegedly.
Well, it gives you the disclaimer first. You can download and use this if you own a PlayStation. So
fair.
I got some time. Do you want to take any calls?
You want to do some calls? Paul, you down for sure, some calls?
So we just took an hour talking about dreams and reading stories and shit. So there we go.
Yeah.
Just faffing about. You know, it's fun.
Yeah, I hope everyone's enjoyed this so far.
I enjoyed it.
You can send all complaints to Brandon of Axelay fame. And I'll put his personal email in the show notes.
Here's his phone number.
It just reminds me of that old bit of, where was that from? There's a guy in a window and at a DMV, and he's like, "You want to speak to the complaint department?" And they're like, "Yeah, I do." He just takes off his hat. What?
All right. It looks like, thanks for stalling for time, guys. I appreciate it. We've got, looks like a call from 951.
Motherfucking Tadpog. Hey, it's 951/German/whatever the fuck you guys want to call me. But, just heard, the last two episodes. The one where the Brian Johnson thing, I don't know. Anyway, my question is this for you guys at Tadpog. Okay, so question is this. : What is the weirdest thing that you guys have ever heard? Okay, maybe even heard or maybe even made the noise while you were either giving face or receiving a Brandon Johnson. You know, like the weirdest noise, you know, like shit's going on. Okay, my story is this from whatever, but my story is this when I was about, you know, like 16, I was having fun with a girl on the bottom bunk, and
you're getting
friends,
a Brandon Johnson.
We're on the top bunk. The names are eluding me now, but him and his girl were having fun on the top bunk, and my girl and me were having fun on the bottom bunk, and she was giving me Brandon Johnson.
Called it.
I heard the. You know, that little pop noise out of the side of your mouth from my gear on the side of the mouth made it sound like you were like popping a lollipop off the side of the mouth deal. So that made me laugh inadvertently. While the two people on the top bunk, they were laughing like they just heard that and they just went insane. But the girl that was giving me the Brandon Johnson just kept going at it like it was no big deal. So, okay, again, I'm going to rephrase it because I'm a little bit drunk. And yeah, I like drunk phone calls, so here you go. What is the weirdest noise? Colon, what is the weirdest noise that you have either heard or made during either giving face or receiving Brandon Johnson? All right. Look forward to hearing some more stuff out of you guys. Like podcast wise, I don't want to hear any of that Brandon Johnson noise. But yeah, I look forward to hearing your answers. And
then he ran out of time. So that's it. I'm so glad that he said that he was drunk, because like, I don't know, about 2.5 minutes in, I was like, is there something wrong with this guy?
I'm super glad there was clarity there, because I had no idea what the hell was going on.
I was like, should we not be playing this?
The noise was while you were getting a blowy.
The weirdest noise that you've made while getting receiving a Brandon Johnson or giving face.
The only thing I remember, having sex, I remember hearing like a whoopee cushion type queef that made us stop, because I thought like, what just happened? But that's not, the question was Brandon Johnson or face. I remember going down on a girl one time. I think it was the first time like she'd ever had somebody do it. So she's laying on her bed and I'm doing it. But her bed is very, very long. So I'm half up on the bed while she's like more toward the headboard. And as I'm doing it.
So you're on the side?
I sort of like my hips are on the end of the bed.
Okay. Okay.
So then my back half is hanging off, and then the rest of me is on the bed.
So it's a short bed.
Maybe, yeah, yours is a short bed. Okay. That makes more sense.
And, you guys were just at the end.
And she, as I'm doing it, she clamps her legs around my head. So her thighs are smushing my ears. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, as that happens, I'm like, okay, I'm doing a good job. All right, good. And then she sets up, like completely sets up 90 degrees.
Like she woke up from a dream real fast.
But her being, her legs being locked around my head whenever she sets up, it just drives me into the mattress. So I guess I'm the one that's making this like muffled, trying to breathe / slurp / still do everything until...
You're joking, man.
Let me tell you, women love that. Excuse me, I have to sneeze.
Until eventually, like, I don't want to stop, but I also can't breathe. So remember, I reach my hand up and I lay her back down. Like, I forcibly push her back down to the bed. And that offended her so much.
Really?
We never fooled around again. Because she was thoroughly embarrassed that I did that.
Well, I mean, I think she probably... That's warranted, right? That is a little embarrassing to just be like, well, now seems like a good time to sit up like a big girl.
Wow.
As opposed to like me panicking like I'm trapped in a closet, like suddenly just like withdraw. Like I'm trying to pull off like a Half-Life 2 grab. Head.
Yeah. For me, it's always just these like when I'm receiving a Brandon Johnson. I really, really like Brandon Johnson's. So usually, I'm usually just leaning back, like, just muttering just the worst fucking things. Just, like, the worst fucking things you can imagine. Like, I'm...
Your
like,
beard sucks, Tyler.
Oh, I can't wait to make you, like, the Statue of Liberty, you bearded motherfucker.
You'll never look like Goa Okonda Dragon God, you fat bearded fuck.
I'm going to make you spit like reptile.
Look what you're doing.
But I never want to be an asshole and, like, project these things that I'm muttering. So that's my weird sound. It's just me just muttering like a madman. But no, the whole, like, sneezing thing, like, that is totally, like, a worst-case scenario where you're giving face and you're like, oh, God, I got to fucking sneeze. Or I have to, like, I was like, oh God, I have to burp, or like, it's just like, fuck, man, I gotta like control this urge for like however fucking long it's gonna take me.
At least you didn't sneeze under cleavage.
Well, no, that's true. That's all your realm, man.
The worst, well, strangest that I've ever heard. I've had this beard, this circle beard that I had this since I was 14. I early grown, started to shave, and when I was about 16, I was going down on a girl, and you know the traditional ghost moan that ooh, she started to make that noise when she was about to come. And then she tells me, ooh, your beard tickles.
She turned into Josh?
What's that, Josh?
Your beard tickles.
Oh, shit.
Lick my Joshy Johnny.
Let's see. We got another call. We have to take this because this looks like a follow-up call from 951. Okay. Let's see if he's sobered up. By the way, thank you very much for calling. Have we heard from you before? I don't think that we have.
He said what, to call him German?
His name is Jordan?
Jordan? Okay, I thought he said, or you call me German.
That's what he said.
I don't know. Let's see. Let's see how he's doing.
Maybe he's sobered up.
Motherfucking Tadpog, I think my message might have gone over 3 minutes or whatever, but I just want to tell you guys, love you guys, keep up the good work, love everything you're doing, love you guys, no homo.
Bye. I had to have a no homo in there.
Well, you're really going to appreciate that whole coming on the beard bit. hey, what I really love, first of all, I love that you called. The second thing I love is that you can't say that you love the show, keep up the good work, with a straight face.
You just started giggling at
me. I love the show, guys. Please keep up the good work.
That's sort of like, because this is a complaint Blake gave me one time. Because like, whenever like he was visiting one time and he's about to leave and he's like, hey, man, I love you. And I was unable to say it back like, hey, man, I love you too. I just have to be like, I love you too. And he's like, no. Don't give me that. You're making a voice, so it seems less serious. Yeah. You tell me you love me like a normal human man.
I mean, he has a point. You want to do more calls or?
Yeah, we can do a few more.
All right, let's see. This is in from St. Zach Helicopter Shop.
Great.
Hello, Sad Dog Nation. And Dave, you are full of shit. You have heard Scroggin before. I rarely pause the podcast in the middle and call you immediately after I hear something. But I'm a little aggravated. I know for a fact you've heard Scroggin because you worked at Office Depot with me for X amount of time. However
we
long
fucking
it was,
scrogged. All
you hung around and talked to Michael Gardner.
Scrog
and
me, Dave.
Son of a bitch. Said Scroggin at least 4 times a day. I don't know. Anytime he was referring to sex, he would say Scroggin. So, I'm going to call you on your bullshit, and if he never said Scroggin to you, then you didn't talk to him that often. But he would get off on his little movie script, and yeah, go on. Anyway, you've heard Scroggin before. You should not have been that surprised on
you motherfucker.
The old Rescue Rangers episode.
You anyway, heard Scroggin.
I'm done with my little rant. Love you guys. The show has become even better with time, and pay Lord bless.
I knew you heard it.
He's starting to sound like Brad Pitt at the end of Seven.
I know you said Scroggin. I didn't know you said Scroggin.
St. Zach's world was like unraveling around him as he's listening to the show.
He had that Scroggin bass that everything was so tightly tied to. I know that guy, Zach. He's actually a huge fan of Danger Zone. So he was always talking about Kenny Loggins. You're wrong, Zach. It.
I will say one thing. I do agree with him. The show has gotten way better as you guys have gone on.
That's good.
Have you listened to Dollar Day Fellow Maths? Have you listened to that one?
That was a long time
Or a Mega Man episode where we're both super nervous.
Leather Goddesses of Phobos.
That was great. I don't know what you guys are talking about. That was my favorite. That and Zork.
Yeah, well, Zork was actually good.
Oh, come on. Both of them were really fun.
I guess maybe I had heard Scroggin, but it just didn't stick with me, maybe. Also, I didn't talk... I didn't talk to my coworkers a lot about sex at Office Depot. I did.
So, Patricia, you got any good face lately?
Give any Brandon Johnsons?
Yeah. So, I'm sorry, Zach, if it was mentioned to me, I completely forgot. It wasn't for comedic value or anything like that.
You blocked out Scroggins for a laugh.
We got to sit down one day and talk about all the Office Depot garbage we had to go through. So I worked there too for a good 2 years.
Oh, man. Yeah,
see,
we could.
So did Jacob. So you got to get a whole Office Depot crew.
And Zach, you get it. Me. We can do the Office Depot podcast. The one that's taken down immediately.
The Office Deep Cast. It'd be so good.
Well, Office Depot's going out of business. Fuck them.
Oh, are they?
Mm-hmm.
Mm, well.
I think so anyway. I hope so.
I got out the right time. Well, man, he was really mad.
I think that's super pissed.
God, like unnaturally. I think that was the best call you've ever made, Zach. Actually, thank you for calling in.
Absolutely.
I think we can do one more.
You want to do one more? Okay, let's see. See who we got.
Please tell me, Taryn.
931. Transcript not available. Mm. So it might just be a whole bunch of pocket noises.
Best.
Hey guys, it's Chandra.
Chandra.
Yarn, wait, Soul Sister Yarn Sorceress Chandra. I remembered it. So I found this amazing passage from just a wonderful book. Read it to Archives of Corn, and he has approved and said that you guys need to hear this. So okay. I shall give you a dramatic reading.
I'm going to pause this for a minute just because I want to say, I have been teased by this call, this voicemail, so much. Because I guess, Chandra, when you made this call, there was a tweet about it. And then Archivist Corn started asking me, hey, have you listened to the calls recently? And told me about it. So, and I think it's got to be great. It has to be great.
She blew my mind at first because she brought in like this sexy, sultry thing as soon as that started. I was like, who is this? What are they doing?
Well, also,
are they trying to get us off while we record?
It's already happened.
Did you make a weird noise?
It tickles, Dave. Wait, you do have a beard. Fuck, I fucked up.
Your glasses tickle. Why you wear those fuzzy glasses when you give me pace?
These are my boon tasting glasses.
These are my boon tasters. Oh God!
Trademark.
Tasting glasses. That's how I go on a shirt.
Boon tasters, right down the street from Long John Silver's. Also, I think it's interesting. I wanted to pause it because it's a fucking dramatic reading. It's completely coincidence that you had a dramatic reading earlier. So let's see. I hope.
Rough and Ready by Sandra Hill. Her long hair, still wet from the shower, had been combed down her back in a wet sloth. Hilda was sitting on the floor, her round, wet boobs still wet from the shower's water. She dried off the water with a towel, which then became wet. Hilda gasped when she saw a reflection in her bedroom mirror. Through the slightly open door, she caught a glimpse of the chiseled abs and square jaw of the mysterious stranger who shared her cabin. She stood and spun around, her breast swinging heavily with the momentum. She grabbed the door and flung it open, revealing shirtless twirls, quivering with desire in the hallway. Twirls was ashamed of being caught, but his shame made him even hotter, hotter. For sex. He stepped into the room and his bulging abs accidentally smushed into Hilda's rich chest. As Hilda's buttermilk bosom squished up against his granite abs, Torloff almost had a dick aneurysm. Torloff murmured thickly, his throbbing meat wand pressing against Hilda's warm thighs. There is a secret I need to not tell you. You are my forbidden desire. Hilda had been wanting to hear these words. Her heart was lifted on golden wings and soared toward a radiant sun of perfect joy. She saw herself and Torloaf happy together, bathed in the golden light of love. Her snooch got all warm, too. Torloaf, Hilda moaned, her lush teeth straining with desire. I need you. Torloaf, coarse abs pulsing softly in the moonlight, stood silently. Hilda looked at him expectantly. Oh, sorry, she added. Torloaf, I need you sexually. And hearing those beautiful words, Torloaf flexed his rough-hewn abs.
Okay, the call cuts off because of the time limit, but we're going to continue this shit because she calls right back. Here it is.
And now the continuation of the excerpt from Rough and Ready by Sandra Hill. At hearing those beautiful words, Torloaf flexed his rough-hewn abs, and Hilda found herself being guided to her soft bed by the sheer force of Torloaf's undulating midsection. She parted her thighs in anticipation, exposing the pink petals of her plunge. Torloaf entered her like she was a lottery. His engorged pecker pushed inside her, and she felt so filled with sexual fulfillment. Hilda clutched at the bedsheets with lust and ecstasy, and her hands. Under love mountains hurled to and fro with each pounding. Her body was like a beautiful flower that was opening and somebody was pushing their dick inside it. Then Torloaf moaned, arched his back, and suffered from dick Parkinson's. He pumped in all of his hot, pearlescent sperms as Hilda spasmed with so many orgasms. Who lay still for a moment as the stinky scent of lovemaking billowed around the room. Hilda got out of bed, still shimmering with orgasm. She glowed with contentment, like a cat who ate the cream of the crop. She walked across the room and picked up her towel, still wet from the shower water. She said softly, there's something I have to tell you. But her bed was empty. Torloaf was gone, escaped out the bedroom window. In the distance, Hilda heard the sound of galloping abs. I tried to keep it together and I lost the galloping abs. How do they gallop? All right, I just wanted to share that with you guys. Have fun with this. And I have got more books by her.
Nice.
I will call in, write in, whatever it takes.
Yeah.
Please.
To share the magic of Sandra Hill. Just
more, please, because there should be nothing but those calls.
Get author. Someone pays her for this. Bye, guys. Great show. Love you. Bye.
Oh, that was so good.
That was really, really, really good.
I'm gonna remember dick aneurysm, and that's gonna be a thing.
I'm going to remember meat wand.
Was the guy's name... Because I felt like...
Torvo?
Torlo?
Torlo?
She kept twirling, so I thought his name was Torlo.
That's his mutant power, twirling. Thank you very, very much for calling. Please make this a regular thing. I feel like you could probably build a whole podcast around this. By the way, your audio quality was on fleek. So
it should be a YouTube cast. I want to see her reading this just to see your reactions.
Just so everybody knows.
Why do you want to work in the medical profession, Chandra? You should clearly be a phone sex operator.
While that was going on, I took a little trip on my magical Amazon machine. Rough and Ready, parentheses, Viking time travel by Sandra Hill is available for anybody who'd like to purchase it. There are 76 offers beginning at...
Wait.
Oh, you want to do it? Okay. How much do you guys think this is on Amazon?
1 cent.
1 cent from Tyler?
All right. We'll go with $1.50.
$1.50 from Paul. Actual retail value, of Rough and Ready Viking Time Travel by Sandra Hill on Amazon used is one penny.
Yeah.
or you can get the Kindle edition, $7.99 on Amazon Prime.
What? I was hoping you were going to say, not available in the United States.
Okay, I don't know anything about Sandra Hill, except that she is a brilliant comedy writer. Like that, there's no way that she's like writing that legit, right?
I don't know. This
has to be like one of those like Abraham Lincoln vampire slayer kind of deals where she's like, you know what is kind of good? It kind of gets me a little horny is romance novels, but I bet I can make it really funny by like
Prejudice and Zombies.
Yes, exactly. Let's juxtapose flowery words with words like dick aneurysm.
And what, sperm Parkinson's?
Oh, I lost it.
Or maybe her editor is just a 60-year-old man from Brooklyn.
I want to hear more about the sperms going in her plunge. Make yourself feminine. Call it a flower first before you call it a plunge.
Thank you, God, so much for calling. Thank you. Please call again with more of that.
Oh, that was wonderful.
Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. The next episode will be
There you go again.
Dorkly's 23rd ranked N64 game, Resident Evil 2.
Nice.
If you want to preview what that's going to be like, you can go ahead and check out what Paul playing today,
yes,
Resident
please.
Evil 2.
And that's what, the best way they can find that is to search for What's Paul Playing Today on YouTube? Or
yeah, you can go to facebook.com/What's Paul Playing Today and find all of the stuff there too.
Awesome.
You know what we still like?
What's that, Tyler?
Five-star
ideas. Dick aneurysms?
Oh, we love dick aneurysms. What gives us dick aneurysms?
Uh-huh.
Five-star iTunes reviews.
Oh, well.
Written. Well-written.
And Brandon Johnson's.
If you just want to leave a five-star iTunes review and then write a passage from some of these novels, uh-huh, just like the most text you can cram into a review, we appreciate that.
Uh-huh.
But really, if there's a game you want us to play or a guest host you want for an episode, make a five-star written review, include that in it. And we promise that we will get to that eventually.
Don't worry, guys. Like Tyler said, we're going to be back. We're going to be talking about Resident Evil 2. In the meantime, you can always find us on tadpog.com. That's where the show notes live. We can have a link there where you can buy Viking Time Travel if you'd like to.
Yep. We'll have a link to our Amazon, so we'll get a piece of that penny.
Yeah, we'll get a fifth of a penny if you buy it. You can also find us on Facebook. We are at facebook.com/tadpog. There's a lot of cool people there, always doing really cool shit. That's a good way to let us know how you feel about this episode is leave a comment for the episode that Tyler will post when it publishes. You can find us on Twitter. We're at tadpog_podcast. It's cumbersome, I realize. Thank you for everybody who's retweeting our episode tweets. It means a lot to me. It helps spread the word. And just thank you for people who are tweeting directly at us because, like I've said before, it gives me something to read on the toilet, and that's wonderful. We do have a Patreon. If you are interested in giving us a little money, you can do that if you'd like. You can find that at tadpog.com/Patreon. Taryn, who we thought was dead, virginity theft, cradle robber, Taryn, she got on it. Mm-hmm. She has, she's given us money.
She's outbid everybody.
I know. She is the new reigning champion. Mm-hmm. So
I have a special title for her that she will appreciate.
Okay, good,
she will enjoy this.
What is it?
Her reward. Instead of Virginity Thief Taryn, which she asked us to change recently.
Uh-huh. Ab Galloper.
Yeah. So her new title, Princess Consuela Banana Hammock. Taryn Landon.
That is a Friends reference, Tyler.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Nice.
Whoever wants to be her crap bag can also throw in her Patreon.
Well, we all need a Paul Rudd in our lives.
we have others that also threw in?
I'm looking at that right now. I know that we did get, let's see, Christopher Spurlock threw in and Michael. It doesn't say, but I believe that is Michael Kelso of the Two Dudes in an Ass podcast.
So we know him, so we can go ahead and give him a title, which mm-hmm. I thought about this earlier.
Okay, good.
So then we should call him Miyamoto Michael Kelso.
Okay.
Perfect.
And then Christopher Spurlock.
Mm, See, he needs, I don't remember, does he have any calls in? We need to know him more so we can find an appropriate title.
If you're listening,
I don't want to call him us. Documentarian because he shares the same last name as Morgan Spurlock, but mm-hmm. I don't know. He might not be
better than Morgan.
He might not be into
Christopher
that.
Spurlock.
Better than Morgan?
Better than Morgan.
That's a pretty damn good title,
that's
Paul.
That's pretty good, Paul. All right. Better than Morgan, Chris Spurlock.
So thank you, you three, for throwing in. We really do appreciate it. Actually, makes me feel really good when people are like, hey, we like you enough that, you know, we'll cut you a few bucks for doing this thing. So thank you, all of you. You can call us if you want. Mm-hmm. If you want to call us with a hilarious romantic passage or just a romantic passage, if you just want to, if you really just want to get two guys in a garage hard, just, you can call us at 270-883-2555. I wish everyone could see the face that Paul is making. It was brilliant. try to keep it under 3 minutes unless it's a really good passage from a romantic novel involving time travel and Vikings and abs. Or if you're really drunk and you don't know what time it is. That's cool too.
I still don't know what time it is.
That's how we live. It's all this LSD, Paul.
Yes.
Paul, our theme song.
Oh, that's Moves by Second Wheel Drive.
Where can they find something about that?
Come on. In the show notes, padpod.com.
Okay. Well, yeah, again, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it.
Really do appreciate it.
Guys, I love it.
You want to take, you want to plug what's Paul playing real quick?
Yeah. Thankfully, I really appreciate you guys plugging me in and also inviting me to do the list with you guys. Mm-hmm. So far, I've had some fun, you know, kind of half and half. Bomberman was total failure for me. But in fairness, I didn't get a chance to play the multiplayer with anybody because, let's be honest, I got nobody here to play with. But I'm super, super stoked to hear what you guys think about Resident Evil 2. It was awesome to play, and I'm actually going to continue playing that one. Right now, I'm actually running through Dying Light as well. And if you haven't played Dead Island, fucking don't, and just go play Dying Light instead because it's everything Dead Island should be. So stay tuned for that. I'm going to be playing at twitch.tv/razokull. I think that's it. It's razokull. You can find me there, or you can find me at facebook.com/whatsballplayingtoday for all the announcements and everything. If you enjoy it, subscribe on YouTube, all that fun shit. It's a lot of fun playing, and it's a lot more fun when people are engaging in the comments.
Awesome. Well, I'm really glad that you're playing through the Dorkly's top 25 and 64 games while we're talking about them on here. Just because, I mean, it's great because it's entertaining for people to watch, and it also gives someone who hasn't played these games a reference point.
It's super fun. Thank you guys for inviting me to do that. In fact, I'm doing this right now. Open invite. You guys, whenever you want to come on the show, play some multiplayer games, do whatever you want. Come on in. If you want to request a game, just throw me an email, paul@loadedcartgaming.com. Seriously, whenever you guys want, jump on, tell me. I will gladly just drop everything and we'll jump on.
Awesome. Sounds good to me. We'll play Hateful Boyfriend.
Perfect. I'm in.
How you want to close it out?
Man, that's a really good question.
Can we do the ghost?
Yeah.
Ghost, no? Okay.
Let's do the ghost
we'll do,
of...
We'll do a cum ghost.
Yeah. Cum perfect. Ghost. Perfect.
Pops cumly. It's fine.
Tadpog deep cut.
So until next time...
Tropical Capricorn!
You bit stretchy!
And I get to tell that moaning story that I've never told anybody. Fuck you, Kristen. You fucking bitch.
Stinger.
Yeah, that's a stinger.